ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, I'm kind of dragging my ass in the rain, as opposed to walking out sunshine. Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free to join the party. Did I say party? StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or associate producer Rebecca Taylor. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's in charge of shaving Mama's tongue this morning?
Are you still drunk?
I am. I just haven't slept. As you know, my big party, the big birthday party was this weekend. Would fox heads explode in general if they were there were any cameras at this party?
It was pretty liberal.
It was exactly what Fox News would think a liberal Hollywood elite party would look like. Don't you think?
Yes.
Where do we start? My headline, I think, or my at least my favorite moment would be dancing to All the Ladies, Beyonce with
single
Ladies.
You don't even know the name of the song.
I don't know what it is.
Oh.
With Maxine Waters,
yes.
Which was just awesome. Gloria Allred was there. She did not get drunk and drop Meg Whitman documents out of her purse, which we were all hoping for.
Darn it.
However, she had a great line about it. She said, Meg Whitman spent $120 million. I spent $10 for a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Meg Whitman, wow. Tommy said, Meg, thanks for playing. Be sure to pick up your lovely parting gifts. Yeah, does not look good.
No.
On this whole, illegal situation. Rebecca, I think you sang some karaoke, which is always memorable. What was it exactly? Because it's hard. I couldn't tell whether it was Coyotes or that was you.
Oh, how dare you, bitch. I sang Kenny Rogers, The Gambler.
Yes, we heard that.
It was
you sang?
It was my stealth move to end the party to make sure everyone left.
Yes.
Thanks for that. It was really bad, but thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for not recording it and playing it back.
Mike and I were talking. We were inside, and we were like, what's that noise outside?
What is that?
We looked over, and it was you singing The Gambler.
Somebody lost their brake pads?
Yeah.
I'm laughing, but I'm crying inside. How dare you?
Aww.
I'm going to be a rock star. Screw you.
Well, I knew better not to sing karaoke.
You should have, and
Jim
so
Ward,
should you.
Jim Ward gets here, I don't do karaoke. Jim Ward did his, in fact, this is how seriously Jim takes karaoke. I have his mic stand in my car.
He
brought his own mic stand and harmonicas. He did it wasn't just one Mick Jagger. It was like a Mick Jagger extravaganza.
It was like a medley of Mick Jagger.
Yes.
Now, can we talk about how right I am and how wrong you were?
Mm. And can we talk about Stephanie's dancing?
What time did people start actually getting there?
Because you said it on the air.
No, that's not because I said it on, because that's the way it happens. And what time did people leave?
I don't remember. Late.
Uh-huh.
By the way, today
not 10 o'clock.
Let me just say one thing. Today, of course, Monday's with McClurg. Edie McClurg, who I think is still at my house, because she was at my house when I went to bed. With John Fugelsang and his wife. I went to bed. Because she was like, she got there late, because she's, I'm sorry, I'm doing a show. I'm an actress, you know. We just finished. So she got there. Literally everybody was leaving, and Edie's coming in.
Yeah.
She's like, it was fine. I don't know what happened with her and John Fugelsang and his wife. I'm not really sure. But
a little orgy there.
Can I tell you how charming John Fugelsang's wife is?
Oh, she's delightful.
Love her.
She is delightful.
Yeah.
And I say that as one of John Fugelsang's other sister wives. And it was it was a part. Lily Tomlin was there.
Yeah.
Harry
Shearer. She hit me in the chest.
Did she?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
I don't even care why.
I introduce myself. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm Stephanie's producer. And she goes, boom, Chris!
Yes.
I'm like, ow.
She loves her some mookage. I believe she also struck Jim Ward. We will talk to him about that. If you've been struck by Lily Tomlin, you never forget.
She's, for sure.
She's got a hell of a punch.
She's
beautiful.
She is. She's funky. And Jane Wagner, it was a liberal Hollywood elite. Fox News. If James O'Keefe snuck in, we are screwed. If there's footage of this anywhere.
He probably needs some work, so he might have snuck in.
Yeah, somebody was, I can't remember what song Gloria Allred was dancing to, but there's got to be footage of that somewhere, because that was, Because she always looks exactly the way she looks on TV in this just impeccable suit. And
yes, a Chanel suit.
And there she is dancing to Usher or something. I don't. It was a little jarring. It was a little, huh?
Oh, by the way, yeah. I thought we told the DJ not to play any 50 Cent. There was some 50 Cent in the...
Did he play 50?
Yes, there was some in rotation.
Yes, in honor of his anti-gay tweet. I thought I banned 50 Cent, but what do I know? I was drunk. All right. Anyway, it was a good time. I'm told it was had by all. I will hear if there's any other... Jim Warhead has any other stories.
Do you remember sexually harassing me and then Jim sexually harassing you from behind?
Really?
Do you remember that?
Is there footage of that? Because if not, I deny it.
It was very awkward.
Unless Gloria Allred has some evidence of that she'll later have a press conference about, that will make me look like a big liar. I deny that.
And then you're dancing. There was a point where I looked over and Stephanie was squatting. And I didn't know that that was dancing.
I probably was just peeing. I didn't want to leave the dance floor. It's my yard. I can pee if I want.
You know that you've done that before.
No, I have, but you know why? Just to... Did you trick me into admitting that?
Yes.
Well, you know, when I've been... training the puppy or two, you know, and you want them to understand it. It's late at night. And you don't feel like, you know, you're out waiting for the dog to do a peep and a poop.
You have a bathroom on your ground
floor.
Well, I
know, but sometimes the dog needs to understand. It's a thing when they're puppies and you don't feel like going in. You have to wait for them. And so you're like mommy.
You teach your dogs by taking a dump in your own yard?
I did not say that.
Listen.
Oh, and number
I
one.
Said a pee. I did
oh,
not say.
That's so much better.
Wow.
Wow, this is our boss.
You know, there were a couple
of... I know,
of,
right?
Now that I think about it, there were a couple of photographers there. I'm not really even sure. One of them, I don't even know who it was.
Yeah.
So there's probably pictures. One of them was my friend. But
right.
The other one, I'm going, I'm not really sure who that is or where those pictures are going to end up. But a lot of careers could be ended this morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the only picture that exists with me and Lily Tomlin was taken by the general manager of our Minneapolis station. So
Janet Robert, yeah, getting down with her bad self.
I need to send her a little text.
Minneapolis representing
That's
in
right.
the house.
Right on. I didn't know she came.
Yeah, she and her lovely and talented husband, Bill, were they were boogieing the night away.
And did you see Harry Shearer, Mr. Burns, petting your dog? That was so weird to me.
Harry Shearer was doing what?
He's like Mr. Burns, and he was petting your dog.
Yeah. Well, he is the voice of Mr. Burns.
To me, that was just kind of like, whoa.
There's always some Fellini-esque weird moments at my parties where people are like, was that? Who is that? Huh? What the hell? I was thinking of something else. Can I just tell you, Maxine Waters' husband, he's the classiest dude I've ever seen.
Yes.
He was, somehow, only he could make dancing to what's the song?
Single Ladies.
Yes, look classy. He still had his, like, drink. He looked like he was almost wearing an ascot. He was just, it was really,
And he
wow.
had the cutest little tie on. Did you see his little tie?
Yes.
Oh, they were precious. I love both of them.
Representative Waters is the nicest, most down-to-earth person
she is.
In Congress. I love that woman.
She showed up at my party, for God's sakes.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, that should tell you right there. For God's sake, somebody doesn't like to put on airs.
Yeah. She was the only congressional representation there, wasn't she?
Yes. Everybody else was, you know, traveling or campaigning or whatever.
Although Senator Boxer did send you some boxers.
I do. I have some boxers.
Yes.
She sent you her panties?
Yes, and a lovely framed photograph of the two of us. thank you, everybody. Thank you, Bex, for all you. Now she's like, oh, this damn Evite. I'm going to... Bex will never use Evite again.
No.
She's having, like, Evite flashbacks. It's like, oh.
I'm so glad the party's over, because now I can quit. I was
going to
quit before
thank
the
you.
Party, but I wanted to go to the party, so...
All right.
Yeah, right.
Bye.
Take care
See
now.
You.
Yeah,
bye
she wanted the free
then.
Booze.
Loser. Please don't go. All right. Hilarious to talk to Gloria Allred, I must say. Meg, thanks for playing. Be sure to pick up your lovely parting gift. California Republican gubernatorial candidate Meg Whitman could potentially be held responsible for errors on her former housekeeper's I-9 employment eligibility verification form. An immigration lawyer who has examined the documents tells TMZ, I believe. They are definitely violations of the I-9? The
I-9,
yeah. It's not unusual what we see an I-9 form like this where there's no signature, no dating, and it's a person who's afraid of being on the hook for documents that they suspect are bogus. Oh, dear. Yeah, this thing didn't smell right from the beginning.
No.
her explanations and her. Because this wasn't the temporary situation, the nanny was employed for 9 years. Whitman was responsible for completing the I-9. The I-9 form provided by the campaign does not have a signature of either Whitman or an authorized agent like the placement company.
Hmm.
Hmm. Oh, dear. Look, right. I don't think I heard this from Glory on Saturday. Meg Whitman may have a second undocumented employee.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. In her Thursday news conference, Whitman, while calling for employers to be held accountable for hiring undocumented immigrants. Oh, I think they probably will be. Let's just say in this year's gubernatorial election. She admitted she also hired a friend of the original nanny Diaz during the housekeeper's maternity leave, asked if she checked the woman's immigration paper. Whitman said, I don't remember whether we did or not. Mm. I'm just going to guess. Hmm. Probably the answer is no. And then here's the other thing I love. You know, she's never voted, ever. That's how politically involved she's been.
And yet she wants your vote.
Yes. She did not until she was 46. Is the voting age, I guess, in the Whitman.
Hmm. That's a little late to come to the party.
Yes. She said she was too dedicated to her family to vote. What's her explanation there? She said, I was focused on raising a family, on my husband's career, and we moved many, many times. As the Sacramento Bee reported, no record exists of Whitman registering to vote until she was 46 and had already had a very active career in business. She makes it sound like she was Donna Reed.
Yeah.
Friggin' CEO of eBay. What do you mean? Well, I was too busy. I just couldn't get out of the apron in time to vote I would have liked to. Mm.
And moving many times, is it? I've moved many times, yet well, I've managed to vote.
Which means two things. You're either in radio or running from the law, or both.
I'm in radio.
Radio means moving. It means frequently.
You're fired.
Okay. Thank God, right. They kept the boxes. It's the first thing you learn in radio. Keep the boxes.
Keep the boxes. You're going to need them. Yep. I actually still have my boxes from the last time I moved.
Things are looking shaky. Okay. Oh, dear God, I'm tired. Eric Bollert from Media Matters coming up next hour to co-host Right Wing World, the Rude Pundit. Can I just say something?
What?
This is the rudest post ever hit this week. That is saying some.
But it's hilarious.
The Carl Rove thing is the dirtiest thing he's ever written. We will talk to him about all of that as we continue. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, the Rude Pundit coming up in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hello, I can't see the name on my screen, but someone from Chicago. Hello.
Hey, Steph, it's Mike.
Hi, Mike.
You know what? I used to work for the Walgreen family for years in Chicago here. And let me tell you, the background check that they do, Meg Whitman, the CEO of eBay, if she's going to allow people in her house access to inside her house, the background check she must have done was ridiculous. And for her to say she didn't know she was an illegal alien is just completely out of context.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't pass the smell test before you even get to the documents.
And you know what else doesn't make sense is why would you spend $120 million of your own money for that job in California? Isn't that like spending money to clean outhouses at the Taste of Chicago? I don't understand why she's spending this much money for that job unless she has ulterior motives.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I thought to me, that's more like the human side of this, Mike, don't you think, that you kind of go, this woman, like, you know, she called her even part of her extended family. You take care of her kids for almost 9 years. You know,
and then she
comes to you, and you're Meg Whitman, for God's sake. You probably could help her. You know,
and somewhere in the 9 years, you don't think they had a conversation like, "Where does your family live? How was your upbringing? Where are you from?" You would think maybe that came across. You know.
Yep. I know. thank you, Mike.
Thanks,
I appreciate.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, honey. I mean, don't you think just that sort of I feel like on a human level it tells you who she is.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I've heard. Did you watch any of the debate? First of all, blaming Jerry Brown. It's like,
what?
Based on no evidence that this.
And wagging her finger at him.
Yeah, yeah, and accusing him.
Right.
Of sacrificing the nanny or excuse me, the housekeeper. It's like, wait a minute, what? Yeah,
Meg Whitman is the employer. Meg Whitman hired her. It was her responsibility to check to see what her legal status was.
Yeah.
So why is she blaming Jerry Brown? That makes absolutely no sense.
Based on no evidence that this came from his campaign, it's like instead of, I think Jerry Brown said it best, it's like instead of saying, I made a mistake, I take responsibility, I mean, you know, can you imagine if she's governor, like she's blaming everybody else, including the housekeeper, for stuff, I mean, it's just...
It seems that Governor Schwarzenegger blames everyone else. We don't need another
eight years. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need another 8 years of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anyway, I don't know. The whole thing is just... You know what? I'm exhausted. I just say I have not slept in like 2 days. I have barely a brain cell left to do this show with.
Do you need a hug?
Pam in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Pam.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I just, you know, I hear all this talk about, you know, immigration problems and everything. If anybody's ever worked in an office, a personnel office, you filled out an I-9 form, it's the biggest joke. The employee fills it out, states whether or not they're a citizen, blah, blah, blah. You get the ID, and you're supposed to sign it at the bottom under penalty of perjury that you witness these documents.
Right.
And,
well,
and you know where the form goes?
Hmm.
In a drawer.
Hmm.
It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go to INS. It doesn't go to the state. The only time anybody sees it is if they come looking for it. It's a joke.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what they're saying, Pam, is that obviously that's generally a tip-off, though, when it's not signed, is that you probably know that you have an illegal employee.
Who would know if it's not signed? I bet a lot of people don't even fill them out. Nobody, like I said, they don't get sent anywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody asks to see them unless INS comes walking through the your office door.
Yep.
And how often does that happen?
Yes.
Never.
Yeah, exactly. That's like something out of a movie, INS knocking on the door. Does that happen? Let's go to Sam.
They don't have enough people working for them to knock on every door.
Well, that's what's just so disingenuous. You know, it's like she's trying to talk all tough on illegal immigration. And it, to me, it's further evidence why we need comprehensive immigration reform. Sam in Providence, Rhode Island. Hello, Sam.
Hello. It sounds like your party was pretty good. But what I wanted to say was previous caller said, you know, how could she not have had a conversation about where does your family live, stuff like that? What has Meg Whitman ever said that would suggest that she would care where one of her servants' families
That's
were
true.
Living
yeah.
or where she came from? I mean,
yeah.
it's part and parcel of what we see every day in the GOP generally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, Sam, as usual in these kind of situations, it's the hypocrisy. That's the issue. It's that, you know,
that's the scary part.
Right. She's doing the saber rattling that, of course, I'm going to be tough as... What did she say? I'm going to be tough as nails on illegal employers. It's like,
She doesn't even care what her own kids are doing at college, so why would she care where her...
We know what they're doing. They're getting thrown out of all white clubs for shouting the N-word.
But she doesn't seem to care about that.
Which I found puzzling, because you would think that's what gets you into an all-white club, but I perhaps I don't understand the rules. 29 minutes after the hour, The Rude Pundit next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Then I say let's celebrate the way they did in the Bible with wine. Red wine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Been there, done that. 34 minutes after the hour. It's Monday, you know what that means.
No. It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. Oh, I didn't even finish the button because I'm drunk. Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Were you at the big rally in D.C.?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going for some reason.
No. I was actually at the polar opposite of your party. I was at a sausage fest in the middle of nowhere, Indiana. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And why would someone like the Rude Pundit find himself at a sausage fest in Indiana?
Exactly.
No, Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Okay.
Even better. Yeah, well, now it makes perfect sense.
Yes, okay. Now I understand.
because I was taken there because somebody said, hey, let's go to the sausage Sausage Fest.
That sounds almost as gay as my party, but whatever, my friend. God bless. Good luck. All right. Speaking of which, one of my favorite things is that you are on the Family Research Council's mailing list.
Yes, yes. It gives me a little surprise almost every day.
Uh-huh. And this week, because it tells you what to pray for. Week you pray, you're supposed to pray that God kills the lame ducks.
Yeah, that we're supposed to pray that that God will stop Democrats from doing anything during the lame duck session.
Yes, which they clearly are plotting and planning as we speak.
Yes, yes.
You write, according to the Family Research Council motto, this queer ain't going to bash himself. The invisible sky wizard has time to listen to our prayers about the coming lame duck session in Congress post-midterms. This week, we're going bug insane over the possible future O'Doon liberals, many likely to be defeated at the polls, still hold power till January after the elections, then will make a last-ditch effort to pass objectionable liberal measures they may never have an opportunity to pass again, such as requiring the military to enlist practicing homosexuals.
Yes, yes. I want there to be a gay quota for the military. We must catch them mid-practice just to make sure that...
You gotta practice, otherwise how do you get good at it? I don't.
Exactly.
You know.
They'll never get to Carnegie Hall.
All right. Also, you know, you had the same reaction I did to this, James. I don't know what this is. This subhuman James O'Keefe that this latest story, I had to even like reread and go, what was this about? It was so convoluted, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just that bizarro plot to entice a CNN reporter or arrange an interview with a CNN reporter for a pretty, lame kind of report she was doing on young conservatives where she didn't really challenge them or anything, but he was going to set up the bubble-headed bleach blonde. Somebody who's listened to Don Henley's Dirty Laundry song way too many times. And
that's like this stupid frat boy prank.
Come on to my boat that's going to be James O'Keefe's love palace or something, and have all these sex toys out and
Does James O'Keefe really think he's going to get the ladies? I mean, have you seen this guy?
Oh, what a dweeb. I love it. You actually write, when you think about it at this point, wannabe CNN punker and journalist, if by journalist you mean preening liar jerk off. And then you mentioned something that should happen to James O'Keefe at the hands of a polar bear, but that's not
exactly. Now. Not exactly the hands of a polar bear.
No,
but yes.
No, some part of a polar bear.
Yes, yes.
But you're right. Until O'Keefe decides to do a major story about the North Pole, the pasty faced bag of who used his frat house final cut of doom to create a poor ass version of Borat about Acorn, thus leading to the media frenzy to restore an organization that helps the poor, is free to do the greatness work that Breitbarting masters expect of him. This was his latest pranking the CNN reporter.
His latest exploit. Yeah, he's going to entice her onto this boat. That he was going to film him trying to get her to have sex with him. I guess.
Well, it was a little creepy rapey, actually, the way as you point out. Yeah,
yeah,
it was very creepy date rapey. The actual, if you read the documents, right?
It was a seduction, and there was even there's points like this script where she's saying, "No, James, this is unprofessional." It's like, wow, you really did read that Sarah Palin porn script too many times.
Yeah, exactly. So last week we talked obviously about the midterms, whatever. And I love the stuff that you have this week. You write, right now the Democrats' closing argument in the election is, you think we suck? Well, those other suck way more than we do. That doesn't exactly inspire the on-the-fence jerker to jump to the blue side. It's like when you're breaking up with a total douchebag loser you've dated for a couple of years and he says, you think you can do better than me? You just wait and see. Man, now that's some compelling. You can stay with the loser or see what's after the loser.
Yeah. And sadly, we've all been there.
Yes. Yes. You say you make a better case during the breakup when you say, I may not make a lot of money, but damn, you know you love our ing. And I make you laugh. In other words, Democrats need to embrace who they are. And then you point out, as an example, Democratic Congressman Tom Perriello of Virginia.
Right. He's running as a solid Obama-supporting Democrat who unabashedly supported the health care reform, who was opposed to the stimulus because he didn't think it went far enough.
Yep.
and voted for cap and trade, and he was being just massacred in the polls.
A month ago, right.
Yeah, and now he's pulled within a couple of points.
Wow.
I think he's pretty much in a statistical dead heat with the supposed, you know, next anointed teabag person.
Right. But, I mean, no, I absolutely agree with you. That's exactly it. You know, and you write about this a lot, is, you know, Democrats cowering.
Yep.
And just like, oh, yeah, okay, we apologize for TARP and the stimulus. It's like, no, embrace it. Embrace the accomplishments. Make your case for why it's working, because you have facts and figures on your side, right?
And it was encouraging to see Obama out there actually doing that. The question is did he wait too long to play rope-a-dope this time? You know, did he, is October, is the last is this last month enough time to change the argument?
Well, yeah, except that, like you were saying, how can you not win on let's just look at health care, that you can't get dropped for pre-existing condition, that your kids can stay on, you know, your insurance till they're 26. You can look at facts and figures on the stimulus, on TARP, you know, I mean, and you're right, it's like all of those things, don't run from them.
Well, you know, this is a country that, even though we didn't really elect George Bush, it was close enough that even Al Gore, coming out of Bill Clinton's economy, didn't just lay waste to George Bush. You know, people still voted for Bush.
Yep.
So, you know, we have this bizarro, you know, idea of change, like, oh, change, we must change, always must change. Now we're becoming like spastic children about change. You know, our American ADD is really starting to get to us.
Yep. Now, and I said this earlier, and you know I mean this as the highest compliment, but I think you wrote the dirtiest thing you've ever written this week, which is saying a lot if you're a rude fan like I am.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The Karl Rove is coming back for his leather slave is really, truly disgustingly dirty and hilarious as usual.
It's an ongoing series, and I actually took a few years off from it because Karl Rove wasn't looking for his leather slave, but now it seems like he's back and seeking his leather slave. There was this whole series during the Bush administration of Karl Rove and the leather slave he kept in the basement of the White House.
Mm-hmm. That's very what's that movie I'm thinking of? Pulp Fiction.
Gimp. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, it is distressing. I mean, and again, like, we didn't know that Citizens United outcome was going to be distressing, but but this is part of the problem, right? Is Karl Rove has basically formed a shadow RNC and is pouring a lot of money into a lot of these races, right?
And he's formed these two organizations, and it is smart. He's got this one organization, American Crossroads, that says we're going to be transparent. We're going to tell you everybody who donates to it. And then he's got this other organization that's Crossroads GPS, that grassroots policy strategies, where he doesn't reveal who's donating, and that's the organization that the billionaires are pouring money into, while he's got this other one that seems transparent.
Mm-hmm.
It's masterful, and the websites for it are really crappy, so it makes it seem grassrootsy.
Right. But, you know, that's another reason, though, like you've talked about, that we really, as Joe Biden said, we bitches have to get it together for the... I'm sort of paraphrasing him.
You're kind of paraphrasing
him. I'm paraphrasing Jim Ward, paraphrasing him.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we need to... Do you know any progressive that's sitting there and going and thinking, you know what, I'm just sitting out. You know, screw these guys. I'm keeping my vote at home. That's what annoys me about this whole, come on, progressives, get with it. It's not the progressives. It's the percentage of Obama voters that now have turned away from Obama, the moderates and independents that have been taken away, that... they're the ones that need to buck up or come back over. Mm-hmm. We're here. We're like, all
well,
right.
No, but I'm saying if nothing motivates you, like Karl Rove, getting,
right,
you know,
right.
Trying to influence politics again in this country. I mean, if nothing else doesn't tell you we are going back to Bush policies, if we let Republicans get in, then that should do it, right?
Well, Karl Rove and his dildo of destruction are back.
Yes.
And you know what?
Thank you.
Time to pull up our pants and not take it.
Exactly. Now, listen, the biggest breaking news, I thought, in the Rude Pundit this week is you have a book coming out, The Rude Pundit's Almanac.
The Rude Pundit's Almanac, I don't have the final date. There'll be pre-sales will probably start in the next few weeks. It's a real honest-to-gosh book.
Wow!
That's what I hear tell.
Yeah, with mostly new stuff. It's not just me, you know, saying, you know that stuff you could read on the Internet? Here it is in paper form. Nah. This is an actual book.
So you're writing new rudeness.
New rudeness, predictions about the 2012 election, all kinds of stuff.
So you're not doing the Ann Coulter thing where she just takes her old columns and puts them together in a book.
You're actually doing work.
Wow.
I know.
She should just call them Ann Coulter's Next Lazy Ass Book.
Yeah.
That would be great. Liberals suck, Ann Coulter's Next Lazy Ass Book.
Yeah. There you go.
Like, even the title, she's not even going to try to come up with something clever, like, you know, or not that Godless is clever, but you know.
Well, we look forward to it, like Karl Rove's Leather Slave, waiting his return to the dungeon.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Your rudeness, I love you, I miss you. I'm counting the moments already till next Monday.
All righty. Mm.
All right. Goodbye, sweetness. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. By the way, who was at the big march in D.C.? I want to hear about it. I know lots of our listeners went. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I want a man with a slow hand. I want a lover with an easy touch. I want somebody who will spend some time. Not come and go.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Every woman at my party had the slow hands of Jim Ward on her at one point or another.
Yeah, so I was rumbling up against some very hot lesbians trying to get him back.
Got that go
did
for
not
you.
Did not succeed in my mission. Oh, and I did Joe Cocker as well as Mick Jagger.
Oh, you did,
yes,
indeed.
You did.
Jim Ward, karaoke king, is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Harry Shearer was impressed
by
your Joe
Cocker.
By the
way, you were also rubbing up against a lot of hot straight women who are
really?
Married or otherwise
Damn.
engaged, but good
okay.
job, Squeezy.
With your wife there, no less. Yes.
One of my friends said, Jim, just the way he says your name sounds pervy. He goes,
Stephanie Miller, what?
Hmm? No, you were like, Lisa, good
hey,
to see you.
Nice to see you. How are you doing?
Like, how could you make that sound dirty? Just the way you say someone's name.
Lisa. Yeah.
You can hear the porn music start piping in. Well, how do you do?
Wow.
All right. Jim Ward, your mic stand is in my car.
Yes, I know.
That's how seriously you take your karaoke.
Well, because I knew I would need a second. Well, if I'm going to play her mic and sing at the same time, you say it's
yes.
He thought this through.
He thought it through.
Yeah.
He was spectacular.
One thing I didn't think through is I brought up the wrong harp for Midnight Rambler.
I know.
That was the one.
I know.
That
you
I used
ruined
for...
everything. That's what everybody was buzzing about. Yeah, that's the wrong harp.
That's the one I used for Gimme Shelter. I thinking?
That's not what ruined everything. What ruined everything was Rebecca singing The Gambler.
Yes, that pretty much cleared the joint out.
You got to know when to hold it. No one to hold it.
And you can confirm that Lily Tomlin did strike you when she met you. She
yes.
was so excited to meet you.
Oh, you're Jim Ward! Boom, boom! Yeah. Ow! Lucy Van Pelt. I think I have a bruise on my chest.
I have a bruise on my chest when she hit me.
You should be excited that Lily Tomlin was that excited to meet you,
know.
Too.
I know. She's... wow. Lily Tomlin's a fan.
Yes,
amazing.
Indeed.
And she never changes. She looks...
I know. I know. She's my hero. She's my hero. Just brilliant, and I couldn't be nicer.
It was cool watching her say hi to George Schlatter.
Yes.
Oh, who the creator of Laugh-In,
yeah.
who was there as well. It was
whom I met when we Rick and I went to go see Bill Maher one time.
Yes. Yes.
Rick couldn't make it because he's
Rick Overton.
Very ill.
Oh my God, Rick
Overton
yes. sounded like Satan
God.
On my
yeah.
phone.
Oh, no.
That's one of those like you know you're not getting a BS excuse.
I cannot make it. I have a cold.
It's like
I have liquid hot magma emerging from every orifice.
He really did. And then he called me again to say sorry. I'm like, you know what? I don't really, you're kind of making me sick. I don't even want to hear that.
I really wish I could have been there so I could infect everyone else with whatever it is I have.
Thanks for not coming, Rick, because that sounded gross, whatever you had. Michelle in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mama. I would like to be recognized as the official lesbian cheerleader of the Stephanie
yeah.
Do we, okay. Do we need cheering? All right.
Yes, we needed one.
Ungawa.
Lots and lots of cheering. I'd like to throw some muck in the general direction of Meg Whitman. If she would have actually paid attention before her mid-40s to the political race, yeah, maybe she would have seen how many careers were ended over domestic staffing involving illegal aliens and so on.
Yes. Yes.
What a crazy. And if she had spent the money on her campaign just to balance the budget in California, everybody would have voted for her.
Yeah, well, now that was the best line of the night. My party, Gloria Allred, said she spent $120 million. I spent $10 for this, yeah, for this blackboard, yeah, for a chalkboard.
And I'd like to also thank the Rude that I'm going to have my frontal lobe scraped over that Karl Rove image with the ball gag in his cheek.
Yes, yes, I apologize. I apologize on behalf of him. Thank you.
Although you should check out his column at rudepundit.blogspot.com.
If you liked it.
It's probably filthier than,
yeah,
yes, totally not safe for work.
No.
No.
Janet in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't know if you caught Bill Maher last night on Joy Behar.
I did not. How was?
He made a really, I thought, just a compelling statement. Those of us that voted for Obama, and there's this sort of overwhelming feeling that voters are laissez-faire, that voted for him, and we don't want to vote again, and we don't know, we're disappointed, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's better to vote for a disappointing friend than a deadly enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And get out there and vote.
Yep, 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 exactly. Vote. Oh, by the way, did I missed the, what do you call it, real time? Did you see, what was the new Christine O'Donnell?
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
I was, well, as you know, laying face down on the, because you had to take me off of it. I was laying face down on the heating grate,
yeah,
most of the weekend.
Yes, you were.
So I missed it. Ken in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, happy belated birthday, and I hope,
yeah,
you had a great time at your party.
And indeed.
And I had a great time at a party on Saturday. I was at the rally in D.C.
Oh, good.
I actually got media credentials and was actually able to interview a bunch of people for my little show. And I got to sit down and talk to Jesse Jackson. I was sitting there while he was writing his speech that he gave that day,
mm-hmm,
at the table, and I'm like, wow, this is a little surreal.
You were right there when he was writing the rhymes?
Well, yes, I was.
Were you like, that's doesn't rhyme. What are you talking about?
And I got to meet our buddy Carl Frisch in person. That was
awesome.
A real treat.
How was it? What was the feeling?
The feeling was great. There were so many great groups there. I mean, the unions, I seriously want a collection of like every union t-shirt. I could fill a closet with it. It would be great. But now I heard that the lowball estimate was like 175,000 people.
Wow.
But Joe Madison, who's a radio show host in D.C.,
yep,
he said he was talking to some of the producers of the show, and they said they overlaid satellite imagery from 828 versus Saturday, and they said that it was bigger than 828.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's,
you know,
what I heard. Yeah.
That's a pretty reliable source there, yeah, you know, to say that, yeah, we're going to beat those teabaggers. Going to beat
yes,
them to the ground.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Steph.
Appreciate it. You know who no longer has media credentials would be Rick Sanchez.
Oh, dear. That was kind of an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
I was on CNN Saturday. I did a show. Pete Dominic, who's the radio host that interviewed.
I watched
happen.
It.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, dear God. You could not get enough of me this weekend.
In fact, it was on as I was going to bed after your party.
Oh, I'm like, no, not her again. Why must she invade even my sleep?
Pete Dominic looked like he was a little bit nervous, but he did a good job.
He was great.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great. He's very funny. But he was the radio host that interviewed Rick Sanchez that got the, yes. Rick Sanchez lost his job at CNN on Friday, a day after going on a satellite radio interview in which he called Jon Stewart a bigot and suggested that Jehoos run CNN.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were saying, that's the briefest statement I've ever heard,
yes,
in a firing. Rick Sanchez is no longer with the company. We wish him well.
Yeah. That was two lines. That's it.
I'm telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority?
Oh,
he's
dear.
Like, yeah.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
What?
Loser.
And,
what?
May I just say, I don't think CNN wishes him well. I think even that was farther than they wanted to go. I think they wanted to stop with Rick Sanchez is no longer with the company.
Yeah.
If they had any sense of humor, they would have said, we Jews wish him well.
Yeah.
Now, see, that would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, the Jews of CNN say mazel tov. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Eric Bollert, senior fellow at Media Matters, to co-host Right Wing World, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Doggy, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your most important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. Or StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. It's Monday. You know what that means. Now, Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Before we dive into a right-wing world, some more great stuff from you this week. You talk about the conservative writers from the Washington Examiner and the LA Times having some fun at the expense of Nancy Pelosi, saying her, you know, her negative ratings are as high as BP. But what they fail to mention is, of course, Sarah Palin's are statistically the same.
Yeah, this is just classic sort of right-wing media cherry picking in terms of polls, and they love to mock Nancy Pelosi because she's so unpopular. She had the latest polling, she had a 50% disapproval rating, but they forgot to mention that Sarah Palin, who isn't even elected office and isn't held responsible for anything, had a 48% disapproval rating. So if you look at the margin of error, they're exactly the same.
Right.
But conservative writers aren't allowed to mention how wildly unpopular Sarah Palin is. And if you look at that same poll, they asked what is the least acceptable outcome for the midterm elections, and the number one answer was basically that Sarah Palin gets a bigger platform.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, and that's exactly it, Eric, because there's this, again, media storyline that, Sarah Palin is so wildly popular. It's like, well, yeah, in her little nutty base she is.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And, you know, they talk about her running for president and everything. There's never been anyone who a presidential possibility, someone who's going to run, who is wildly unpopular with, you know, with the mass population. So she gets the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's why Democrats love the idea of her running, because she polls highest among Republicans for who's right, the number one, the front runner, and yet 75% of the American people think she's not qualified. So we're like, come on with it.
That's a major disconnect there.
Yeah. Speaking of reporting polling, you also have a, what's her name, Mary Catherine Hamm wrote a piece called Youth Vote Shifts Right.
Yeah.
Which isn't exactly the truth.
No, she was looking at a Rock the Vote poll, which showed there is a movement in terms of the sort of the younger vote not identifying as much with the Democratic Party versus 208, which, A, makes sense. 208, that number was through the roof with the Obama phenomena.
Right.
But if you look at what the types of candidates they support, it's a blueprint for a Democrat. Environmentalist, you know, pro-choice, pro-immigration reform, on and on. And since I wrote that over the weekend, there was a Gallup poll that showed the biggest movement in the last month in terms of movement towards Democrats in terms of the midterm is the youth vote again. So it's sort of this pipe dream that, you know, suddenly Republicans are going to pick up the college vote or something.
Yeah. Now, one of my favorite things that you write about is infighting at Fox, which I love. and you look at the Christine O'Donnell race, you say the one thing we know is Bill O'Reilly does not like to be snubbed.
Right.
He's been upfront about the fact that he wants her on his show and has refused. Worse, she's appeared twice on Hannity's show. O'Reilly's response, you write, to throw a couple of darts Hannity's way, suggesting that O'Donnell only wanted softball questions posed to her during visits to Fox News, which, that's not even softball. That's T-ball on Hannity, isn't it?
Well, this is the funny thing. I mean, Fox News has become the opposition party. There's going to be a Fox News candidate for president, and guess what? Not everyone's going to agree, and those egos over there are so monumental that when candidates start snubbing Bill O'Reilly or start snubbing Glenn Beck or start snubbing Sean Hannity or whatever, you know, it's going to lead to all sorts of headaches.
Yep. And one other thing before we dive into right-wing world, it annoys you, I think, as much as it annoys me. First of all, this James O'Keefe just makes me want to vomit in the first place. But every time they report on him, so now he's back in the news for this stupid frat boy CNN prank that he was trying to pull.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, people go, oh, he was the one that was dressed as a pimp and went in the Acorn offices. And, you know, as you point out, it can't be pointed out enough, he never did that. He didn't even have the courage to do that. He shot footage of himself outside in this pimp outfit. He never went into an Acorn office dressed like that.
Yeah, after he did the, you know, the undercover videos, I think he decided, hey, I'll make it better. So, you know, I'll clip these bumpers showing me, you know, before and after dressed as a pimp. You're right. He never really did have the guts to do that.
No, it was like made for Fox News. Here's the clip you show. Here's what you show.
Yeah, but as you point out, as we highlighted, you know, CNN last week, Washington Post, oh, James O'Keefe, who dressed up as a pimp, you know, to got you with Acorn. He didn't do it. In fact, the fact that he didn't do it and he sort of lied about it is what the press should remember about that episode. And that should have been last winter when we pointed it out. It should have been a huge red flag.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, resulted in an organization being destroyed that really only helped the poor. And the entire story was bogus.
Yep, the whole thing.
All right, let's dive into the right wing world, see what's new. Okay, Glenn Beck, did you mention that Fox News seems to be in the bag for one particular political party? That's weird.
We can either go to the dustbin of history and we can continue the policies that we are on. We can listen to the arrogant politicians who say that the American people are stupid and they don't get it. Or we can stand up, and it begins in November. But it's a long, long fight. Stand up, square our shoulders, and say, as Gandhi said, we don't hate you. We just want you to leave.
Oh, my God. Now he's Gandhi.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King, that was just a warm-up, I guess.
Yes, and Jesus. He's compared himself essentially to,
You would almost respect him more if he just would stop this game. Oh, I'm not partisan, or I'm not for Republicans. And, you know, this New York Times big feature over the weekend, he says, you know, Tea Party, I have nothing to do with it, you know. Come on, give me a break. just admit you're essentially a partisan hack and not, you know, not try to drape yourself in this sort of above-it-all messiah mystique that he seems to be growing more and more in love with each week.
Oh, you know, Eric, that is so un-Gandhi-like of you. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
Tell your buddy what makes a Palin joke fashionable is a media that he probably doesn't even like.
Well, Palin.
Sometimes I want to reach out and choke people into reality. I want to grab them by the throat and say, would you please wake up and stop this arrogant condescension? Who the hell are you? You know, go do one thing she's done. Let me see your background. Let me see how many illegitimate kids you've got. I want to see all of your DUIs. I want to see the media following you around every day, unturning every rock in your life. I want to see how you like it. I want to see how you deal with it. I want to see how you deal it when people tell you that you embarrass them.
Now that you mention it, let's hear about all your
DUIs.
He's
awfully sensitive about his girlfriend, Sarah Palin.
I guess. And again, you know, it's not the media that's pointing out the fact that she's wildly unpopular. If you look at her polling since the fall of 2008, and, you know, everyone thought, well, they lost the election, she's going to sort of fade into the background. Ever since she's become a higher and higher profile, her negatives are higher and higher. The more people see her, the more people don't like her. And, you know, here's populist Rush Limbaugh basically telling the American people, the American voters, you don't know what you're talking about. He's not mad at the press. He's mad that that Sarah Palin is more popular, so he's just pretending it's the media's fault.
Well, I mean, I've said this from day one of the election. It's like Mean Girls. I mean, a lot of these candidates, including Sarah Palin, to me, they're Republican Mean Girls, and the camera doesn't lie. You know, and I think you're right. The more you see her, it's that same kind of nasty rhetoric she used during the campaign.
That's right. And again, it's not the media's fault. It's not Democrats' fault. Look, if you look at just look at independents, what do they think of Sarah Palin? Very, very little.
Well, that's all those gotcha questions, like, what do you read?
And it's not the media's fault because she won't even talk to the media anymore. She won't answer any questions. She hasn't had a sit-down interview with a serious journalist in probably a year and a half.
So well, she's like a teenager and a constant snit. She's just, I'm going to Facebook.
And, you know, if you want to be, you know, a media caricature, if you want to be a radio show host, that's fine. But if you're trying to aspire to be the president of the United States, American people just have no interest in that attitude.
Yep. Judge Andrew Napolitano on the Fox Business Channel.
If we can't rely on Tea Party candidates who've been through the fire of primaries, who've taken on establishment Republicans to win, if they become co-opted, is freedom doomed? What?
Oh, no. Freedom is doomed if the crazy teabaggers don't win, Eric.
Well, you know, again, it's interesting that they're going up these. Suddenly, the evil Republican, incumbents are the problem. For whoever's on the other side of the aisle has become the enemy of freedom and represents the end of our existence. And if it's sitting Republicans in Congress, that's pretty funny. But again, you know, people like Judge Napolitano, they're so far in the pocket of the Tea Party movement.
Yeah. Well, and here's what I love. I think it can't be said enough how hilarious it is that they keep getting called like the outsiders. And it's because they've been too disastrous as candidates in the last 16 runs that they haven't been able to become insiders.
I'm pretty sure Christine O'Donnell has run for office before.
Yeah. Exactly. All right.
Like every year.
Yeah, exactly. David Assman.
Assman. Beg your pardon?
Pardon me. From the Fox Business Channel.
Age for Carl Paladino. That was a guy on the right having to separate the Republican gubernatorial candidate and New York Post writer Fred Dicker, the bald guy you see there, during a heated exchange before a speech upstate. And how many Americans are going to be cheering the politicians taking on the journalist?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's what we want. A Sopranos.
Paladino's the hero here.
Yeah, we want a Sopranos candidate.
That was great because, you know, the fact that it was the New York Post, it ruined it. I mean, if Paladino had laid it to, you know, someone from the liberal New York Times who was out to get him or a liberal NBC.
Right.
But the fact that he's threatening to kill someone from the New York Post, it just ruined the whole storyline. And so then they sort of had to pretend it wasn't someone who worked for Rupert Murdoch.
Right.
And they had to pretend it was this evil, you know, liberal reporter going after this, Republican candidate. So, yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Look out, National Review. You're on my list. You and the Washington Times.
Here he comes, Governor
Just
Joe.
Just wait.
Governor Joe Pesci, everybody. All right.
What, am I some sort of clown? I'm here to amuse you?
Eric, stay in the sidecar, won't you, please?
Sure.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more right-wing world as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mondays with McClurg coming up in a half an hour. I think I'm pretty sure she's at my house somewhere. I'm not really. She got to the party late, and I went to bed, and she was still there with John Fugelsang and his wife. We'll find out what happened.
Edie McClurg showed up after I left.
Yes. I had a show. I'm an actress, you know. That's what she said. She's so cute. All right. Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar for the rest of Right Wing World. Oh, Eric, I'm sorry. I needed you to catch your breath before I inflicted Brian Kilmeade on you. Here we go.
We hear the story all the time. I got the economy in a ditch, and the people that brought me there want to start driving again. You can't drive. You can't get the keys back. We hear that all the time. But what happened, regardless of where the economy was, you can argue that the stimulus package did more damage than anything else.
Did more damage?
You
could
argue
that the moon is made of green cheese, too.
You could argue if you're a giant dope that hasn't listened to any economists at all.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, you could argue that if you weren't an economist, right? I mean, we've seen studies where the economists have said, you know, if it weren't for the stimulus, unemployment would be 11.5%.
Right.
Yeah, it's created, 3.3 million jobs? I mean,
exactly.
That's just a fact.
Exactly. Mm. So, yeah, you could say that, but...
You could argue that monkeys are flying out my butt. You could.
But then that would be 3.3 million people that would be out of work and, I guess, watching dopes like Brian Kilmeade on Fox News. So in that sense, you could argue that it's done more damage. Okay, Jonathan Honig on the Fox News on unions.
The unions have ruined every industry in which they've dominated. Airlines, autos, education. And keep in mind, you know, the Tea Party, the whole idea of the Tea Party only started in February of last year. Mm. It is a real honest-to-goodness grassroots movement driven by ideas. The unions have had decades of political patronage on their side. So what they're protesting, I don't understand.
I understand.
Yeah, the unions are what's making flying impossible these days. It's those damn unions.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, it's funny that folks on Fox actually think, you know, the Tea Party is some sort of grassroots movement. I mean, it's bought and paid for by and sponsored and marketed by Fox News. If it weren't for Fox News, the Tea Party wouldn't even exist today. As Krugman, as Paul Krugman points out in the Times, you know, they're now, as Media Matters has been saying for a year, you know, they're picking the candidates, they're doing the fundraising, they're in charge of this movement. So it's just comical when people on Fox News talk about it as some sort of grassroots movement.
Yeah, exactly. With no sort of media outlet to promote it at all. Except the one we're talking about it on now. On Eric Baldwin from Media Matters. See you next week, sir. Thank you so much.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, there he goes.
Oh, my God, he stayed on the...
He stayed right on the phone with me.
Until the very, very end.
Very last
second.
Gotta
go.
All right. You know what, Jim, did you see this? I don't know what this means, but the State Department travel alert issued on Sunday in response to reports of a threat by Al-Qaeda was anything but precise. The alert's vagueness, issued after days of discussion inside the Obama administration, embodied the dilemma for authorities in the U.S. and Europe over how to publicize a threat that intelligence analysts call credible but not specific. That's like that color-coded thing that we used to have, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah. We're but sort of at a kind of a bronze.
No one ever knew
color.
What it meant. It's wearing right. Yellow.
It's we're at boner. The color we're aiming for.
We're
it's not tan. Quite
we're
boner. It's not quite.
It's, that's the thing. Like you never. What was it? Bill Maher that said that. What does that mean? Wear a sweater? Like what? You're never sure what an alert means.
But it never.
What
went,
should we do?
It never went below yellow. You know. So it seems like
yes.
Green and blue were just completely useless.
Yes. But I never knew what you were. So that's even an alert. I don't really know what that means.
We're
what
sort
we're
of a turquoise, which I think means you can keep your shoes on. No, it's getting yellower.
What was the one thing we had to do? We used to have to do with that involved the tape. I never did the thing anyway.
Oh, the plastic sheeting and duct tape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
what was that?
In case of chemical
attack. Oh.
Then you know, block off the windows so no air gets in your house. Which will work for, you know, a day, maybe.
Yeah, but there are other ways that air can enter your house besides the windows.
What?
You know, I'm not handy anyway, so I never did that. I was like, what?
Also, you have a zillion windows in your house.
Yes.
It would take you forever.
You'd have it's too much work for
me. Cover your entire house with duct tape.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. So that's, thank God you did whatever you did when you were on alert this weekend, because you're probably safer for it now. All right. I don't know what that means. All right. The president out talking about the upcoming midterms this weekend. The president.
Now's not the time to give up.
No.
We've been through worse as a nation. We've come out stronger from war to depression to the great struggles for equal rights and civil rights. It took time to free the slaves. It took time for women to get the vote. It took time for workers to get the right to organize.
Woo!
Damn unions.
Fired up and ready to go.
That was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
In campaign mode. All right, John Cornyn on the midterms.
I think we're going to have a good day on November the 2nd, so I don't know how high or how wide that tsunami will be, but I think it will be significant.
Oh, it's a tsunami now. A Democratic wipeout that's a coming, huh?
Hmm.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's what they call a cello slut. This could be my big chance with her.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Stephanie in Madison with an update on my future husband, Russ Feingold. Hi, Steph.
Hey.
Hello.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay. Johnson's up 7 points over Feingold. That's the latest poll.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is such a creep. If you check out The New Nation, it has great articles on Feingold and great Alan Grayson.
Uh-huh.
But our airwaves are being flooded with Republican money, and there are fear-mongering ads. There's little old ladies.
Gee, that's new for Republicans, really.
Yeah, and they're stealing $500, it's $500 million from, or billion from Medicare, you know, doing all the stupid lying talking points. And I just hope the polls are wrong, because I was at the rally and the kids are fired up. So I hope this is just, you know,
Well, you know what they often say, Steph, is I don't know if you know the polls are wrong or not, but I do know that, you know, they can, they say that it's a month can be a lifetime in politics, you know.
Oh God. And you know, I don't trust Wisconsin. We, you know, we had Tommy Thompson for what seemed like forever.
Yeah.
You know, as governor, and so Wisconsin can turn. I mean, but I tell you, if everybody's fired up and everybody votes, if Dems vote,
yep.
You know, we win.
Yep,
so
yep.
God,
yep.
For God's sakes, vote, people.
Or as Joe Biden would say.
Hey, come on, bitches, get it together.
Thank you.
I don't think he said this.
No? Okay.
In Stephanie Miller Show lore, he did.
Okay.
Tom in Canton, Ohio. Hey, Tom.
Hi. Hi. 2 points I wanted to make. One was, if Sarah Palin is so desperate to step up and serve if called, why didn't she go back to Alaska to serve out that last 2 years?
Ah, yeah, exactly. If she's so keen on the whole serving and things of this nature also, too, in addition.
I think Feingold ought to suggest his opponents are in favor of banning sausage, cheese, and beer.
Cheese curds.
That is not going to happen.
A little free political advice.
Cheese curds.
Oh, I love cheese curds.
Didn't Saddam Hussein bomb them? Oh, no, that was a whole different
That's a different thing.
That's a different
entirely.
Kind of curd.
All right. Hey, who all went to the One Nation thing? The liberals at the One Nation rallied in Washington Saturday. Somebody said it sounds like it was way bigger than the Glenn Beck thing, estimates I'm hearing. Whatever. All right. They said it's about jobs is what they said it was about, which I think is job one, jobs. They seemed as concerned about bridging the divide between Democrats and disillusioned progressives. The One Nation Coming Together rally at the mall touched on themes of immigration reform, more funding for schools, and equal rights for gays. But more than anything else, the day was about jobs, jobs, jobs.
Yes.
From everyone I've talked to, I've heard it went very well. So, yay.
I heard it was very inspiring.
Yes, it was. It was
damn
refreshing.
Unions.
It was refreshing
jobs.
To see a rally with no racist signs for for once. Not a one.
Although I just got a picture of a listener who wore their Larry the Landslide Lizard shirt.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, that's a creation of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
Larry the Landslide Lizard.
She was wearing it for Good Mojo for November.
Ay vey. All right. Speaking of rallying for gay rights, we have, let's see, new polling. Ask America? I'm not sure what Ask America is.
Maybe they Ask America things.
Apparently they Ask America things. The debate over gay marriage is hitting a turning point. Two recent polls were the first to find majority support for same-sex couples having marriage. Right, gay marriage is legal in 5 states, of course, Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire, and in Washington, D.C. Each of those states allow the practice only after courts or legislatures stepped in. A popular vote on gay marriage has never resulted in legalizing the unions. However, that's like I was saying, that's why minority rights shouldn't be put to a majority vote, because now, for instance, out here in California, where we... have the odious Prop 8, there is majority support for gay marriage. So now, of course, if you say, let's go back to the polls, the right wing is like,
says no.
No, we don't.
No,
do that.
That's
we
not.
Don't look at polls. She
who
never
cares
have.
What the
that's
voters
crazy.
Think? Ask America have been collecting people's thoughts on the issue. More than 17,000 responses have come in. I'm not sure if this is scientific polling. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same as
science.
Yes, I'm blinded temporarily.
Science!
It's currently split 50-50. People on both sides of the issue expressed one other opinion that comes up fairly often in the debate, which makes the most sense to me. The government should just stay out of the marriage business entirely.
Yes.
The Constitution does it. One person polled said the Constitution does not define marriage. All unions should be civil unions. Marriage is a religious ceremony.
Well, but also there are some legal ramifications of marriage, too. You know, property rights and stuff like that. So in that respect, the government does need to get involved in marriage.
Pretty
uncivil unions,
yes,
too.
Yes, but that's why I think they're losing the legal battle over how you can argue that any American citizen should be denied the same rights that everybody else has. David Boies, the lawyer in the Prop 8 case, said the battle is over. It's just a question of how soon people get equal rights. But Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage, has a different take. He maintains the popular opinion of people who are not elite is still overwhelmingly in favor of leaving.
What?
Marriages.
What? Elite? Huh?
People who are not elite?
Mm-hmm. That's just an elite liberal opinion, apparently, that people should have equal rights.
But the majority of Americans think that...
He said, you're ultimately going to lose at the Supreme Court. Oh, dear God, I hope not. Adding that if Boies doesn't, Congress would push for another federal amendment to define marriages between one man and one woman. Did I say women?
Yes.
I'm watching Sister Wives. Too much. 62%.
Between one man and all of his floozies.
62% of those polled said it's only a matter of time before gay marriage becomes legal in all states. That's the Ask America poll. I was going to say, at my party, it was a really bad week. There were a lot of gay kids committing suicide just last week, but I had a really exciting weekend. Friday night, I got to hang out with Jane Lynch and her lovely and talented wife.
Very cool.
At the PFLAG event. And just some great people there. At my party, there was Rick Jacobs, head of the Courage campaign. There was Charles Robbins, of the head of the Trevor Project. And I just thought, there's also so many great people right now that are working for good, that are really working to try to get equal rights for people, to try to save these kids. And I was inspired. I was inspired all weekend by, some of the folks that I was lucky enough to hang out with.
Yeah, that was a pretty gay party.
It's not a gay party.
Gay in the sense of happy.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what you meant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, an aide for Senator Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia, was fired yesterday after an investigation indicated the aide was behind a all F-word for gay men must die.
Yes.
Which was traced back to an address in the senator's office. And that took a Columbo, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's. I wonder where that could have.
You know who traced that back? The gays who work in IT.
They didn't count on there being so many gays in IT.
Exactly.
Pretty handy with that stuff.
Damn it, they're everywhere.
Is everybody gay in IT? Yes, the answer is yes.
Computer says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody gay?
Computer says yes.
Gene in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, this is Jean.
Hi, Jean.
Oh, hey, just calling in to say I went to that One Nation rally. Drove there with some SIU students, and we had a really good time. I thought it was just awesome.
And
absolutely.
What was your favorite? Like, who were your favorite speakers? What was the general mood? Tell us.
Well, and I was right up front, and I'm actually trying to post because I had a sign that has now been all over the internet, and it was just a basic sign that said "Respect My President" with our president's photo on it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's over on USAtoday.com.
And it was just a normal picture with nothing added to it.
No.
Which is kind of refreshing, like a bone through the nose or a
Hitler mustache.
Or horns. Uh-huh.
Respect our... Actually, it said my president. It should be our president, but whatever.
Thank you. That, you know what? You know why I bet you...
Go ahead.
Gene, I was going to say, I bet that reason why that's all over the internet is because that's a view that, believe it or not, is shared by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That, we all wish we maybe could just get back to a discourse where there's some sort of basic level for respect for this office,
Right, exactly. So it was well worth driving 30 hours.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Sleep.
Good for you. Yeah, that's sometimes the simplest stuff is the best. Yes. Mm-hmm. How about we just start with a basic level of, you're not allowed to draw things on the president's face in a racist or disparaging manner. Let's go to Kathy in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show, who's also at One Nation. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Sorry I missed your party, but I had to go to the rally in Washington.
Damn it.
We got up at 3:30 in the morning and took a very early morning flight out of O'Hare with a bunch of union people, mostly UAW people, who had been, some of them traveling from Detroit, traveled overnight. It was really cool to be on the plane with people that were actually also going to the rally. The Washington Post yesterday, the edition I picked up, said there were 175,000 people there. And I believe it. It was just, there were just so many different groups of people. And following up on what you're last caller said, there were so many Obama t-shirts and signs. I had an Obama shirt on. I went in part because I'm a small business owner. My husband and I own our own business. We're big Obama supporters, and I was very pleased to see how many Obama people were there still respecting the office of the president and the president himself.
Good.
And I was also impressed at how many anti-war signs there were. There were just bombs, you know, our jobs not bombs, schools not bombs. There were all sorts of slogans and stickers. If you had let everybody who had a sticker put one on you, you would have been covered from head to toe.
And you would have looked silly, but thank you. All right. Mary in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, is also at One Nation. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. Oh, how you doing?
Hello.
Sorry I missed your party. My friends and I from the Nation Magazine discussion group here in Huntington, Long Island, we drove down we had so much fun. And I'll tell you, I want to say something about the count. The reason why they have problems with the count is because people did come and go. It was a beautiful day. We, unlike the Tea Party guys, spent a little bit of time in Washington. You know, we might have hit the museum. We were on the metro. You know, we parked outside of Washington, took the metro in. It was fun and games, you know, and it was a great system. And so people were coming in droves after we got there. And then they were leaving, you know, a little bit too, so they had a hard time counting. But what a huge crowd.
Yep.
It was huge. It was fun. It was just every possible group was there. I mean, you couldn't possibly have a more diverse representation of America. All of us.
It's hard to imagine more diversity than at the Glenn Beck rally.
It was the exact opposite.
There were so many white people with a lot of different expressions on their faces. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I had to return sexy. It was faulty. I had to bring it back.
You were taking sexy back?
Yeah. You kept the receipt, fortunately.
Yeah. I kept the receipt for sexy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. 51 minutes after the hour. Speaking of sexy, Mondays with McClurg, just moments away on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was the sexiest person at your party.
Well, I listen, all I know is I went to bed. Edie McClurg was still downstairs with John Fugelsang and his wife. And I don't know what happened. We'll find out.
Is there a video?
I don't know.
What time was that?
That was late. Mama went off to sleepy time.
So the party did not end at 10 like you wanted it to?
No. I was I not able to exert the German control that I had tried. People did not show up at 7 and
the
they
The party
stayed.
Is over! It is 10 o'clock. 22 Uhr.
Although Rebecca Taylor singing The Gambler pretty much cleared the joint out in a way.
Well, there was
much,
that.
That pretty much. You. Doggy.
I got yelled at by your caterers.
Why?
Because I was standing in a place I wasn't supposed to be standing.
Well, that's why I had Lily Tomlin punch you.
Okay.
No, she just punched you because she was excited you were to see a MOOC. And who isn't?
Yeah. I got hit in the chest by Lily Tomlin.
Get out!
Yeah.
You're Chris the boy? Oh, get out!
She's very enthusiastic about her MOOCs.
Yeah.
As am I.
Aw.
Well, that's why I instituted the shoving policy here at the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm so excited every morning when you show up.
We've had to replace that window how many times?
Jim, by the way, Gloria Allred, of course, was at my party. Did you complete your mission to
No.
slow dance with her and try
she
to fish some documents out of her purse?
Assistant.
No.
And she was dancing to Lady Gaga.
Yes, Gloria Allred was dancing to Poker Face.
Poker Face, yeah. It was surreal.
Oh, dear.
Almost as surreal as me dancing with Congresswoman Maxine Waters to, what is it? All
I
the Ladies.
That. Single Ladies.
Single Ladies by Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. I was on the dance floor for that.
Were you?
Yes, I was.
Yes. That is a, now that's a picture.
I was being force-fed appetizers by your staff. They were damn good, too.
Mm-hmm. That grilled cheese thing was very
thank
good.
You. Thank you. All right.
I like the bacon-wrapped dates with gorgonzola.
By the way, we will try to get some pictures up on the website. There were various photographers that I'm not even sure who one of them was, so there may already be pictures on the Internet that I'd rather weren't. But anyway, we'll see.
Well, I know there were two photographers.
My friend was one of them. Yeah. So I'll hopefully.
And the other one, yes. It might have been Lyle.
Oh, sure.
Lyle okay. Wagoner?
Yes, Lyle Wagner was there.
Because Senator Boxer was not able to make it, but I got Boxers, which I treasure.
Hmm.
There are Senator Boxer shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them, so there.
And they're selling like Boxer shorts.
Exactly. All right. We were talking about some of the other folks there. By the way, Dan Savage is doing this great thing called It Gets Better, a YouTube channel that enables people to submit videos giving messages of hope to gay and lesbian youth, because it was just an awful week last week, as we were talking about, with gay kids committing suicide. I'm going to be taping one this week. And programming note, Dan Savage will be on Larry King tonight, along with the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright. Jeez. And another, I think, Kathy Griffin. It's a whole star-studded lineup, I'm told.
And you're not there?
No, I'm not there tonight. A Larry King producer was at my party, so I got a heads up on who's on tonight.
It's very cool.
Yes, it's a star-studded panel.
Larry King did not make it to your party.
No, he did not. He.
Addis Ababa, hello.
He George Slaughter said he was tired. He just flown in from somewhere.
At that age, one is always tired.
I'm used to my gentleman callers stiffing me. By the way, let that be a lesson to Rick Sanchez, who just who stiffed the Stephanie Miller Show a couple of weeks ago.
And
you're fired.
That's what happens.
He never called back. Ever.
I know.
Because I hear there are Jews answering your phones.
Exactly. There's...
Actually, I don't think a single one of us is a Jew.
Yeah, by the way, that's the one thing that TV people ought to know, is not to go on radio shows. He went on the radio show. We've gotten more than one person in trouble. But Rick Sanchez stiffed us a couple of weeks ago.
And it was a satellite radio show, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pete Dominic, whose show I did on CNN on Saturday. So, yeah, in case you hadn't heard, let's play it again. Why not? Rick Sanchez was on a Pete Dominic's radio show, and he had some comments.
I'm telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority?
Oh, dear. And Chris and I were saying, I think this is the shortest statement we've ever seen. Rick Sanchez is no longer with the company. We wish him well.
Yeah.
And we were saying, if they had any sense of humor, they would have said, we Jews wish him well. But that would have been...
Mazel tov. Yes.
Mazel tov. L'chaim.
I don't think they'd say L'chaim in that situation. Just saying.
Maybe Corey Haim would say
I'm thinking of a Black Eyed Peas song. I'm sorry. Some, such as Washington Post Greg Sargent, have argued that Sanchez's meaning in the last statement couldn't be offered to dispute, since it occurred during discussion of the white northeastern liberal establishment.
You know what I mean. You know who I mean.
He specifically referred to Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. It's like, yes.
They're a lot like John Stewart, if you know what I mean. Short. That's what I'm saying. Short people. Ain't got no business. That's my point.
CNN said it would broadcast CNN Newsroom from 3 to 5 p.m., the slot formerly held by Rick's List for the foreseeable future. The move comes a day after Sanchez did his final guest hosting in CNN's 8 o'clock spot, which will be taken over by the new show, Parker Spitzer.
Parker Spitzer.
There's a joke
in there
somewhere.
Is that who you are or what you do?
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting.
Parker, I just spitzed her.
Sounds like some kind of dog, some kind of weird breed of dog. A Lhasa Apso.
What is that?
Yeah. Is that a Parker Spitzer?
That, I believe it starts tonight with the lovely and talented Governor Elliot Spitzer, who I love.
I think he's
awesome. So we will. I will be tuning in to watch that, along with the Larry King program. Oh, all right. Somebody sent me what a Christine O'Donnell clip was on Real Time. She likes meatballs is the new...
I'm Italian. I like meatballs, so I can be a high
Krishna. Like, with a last name like O'Donnell, she's Italian?
Yeah, right.
Okay. She says she tried every other kind of religion, including witchcraft and Buddhism, but became a Christian because of her love of Italian food. She said,
it was originally O'Donnellini.
I would have become a Hare Krishna, but I didn't want to become a vegetarian. She said, honestly, that's the reason why, because I'm Italian and I love meatballs.
Actually, Hare Krishnas are not hairy. They tend to shave their heads.
Yes.
So it's the last
ironically.
Thing.
Yeah. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Mondays with McClure, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Savoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Tomorrow, journalist Dana Milbank, Boston Globe writer Charlie Pierce, and Arianna Huffington, along with Paula Poundstone, all on the big show tomorrow. It's Monday, though. The important thing is it's
Sounds
Monday.
Like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Edie McClurg. Why, look at you.
Oh.
Last time I saw you, I was going to bed and you were still in my house at the party with John Fugelsang and his wife. What happened there?
Well, let's see.
Do you have any gossip for us?
We hitched up both of your dogs and had them roll us around the grounds, the spacious grounds, and we acted like we were, in that movie, where they it was all snowy and cold and everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, that one.
I was hoping for some sort of sister wives story. You and John Fugelsang and his wife. No?
No, but his wife is a lovely person, my
she
goodness.
She is indeed. She
Very
is. And you were late, which I love. I love that you came. You were had done your show.
Twice.
Two shows.
Yes.
Wow.
Matinee and evening, yes.
Yes, just almost everyone was gone, Chris, and I just get this little... I had two shows. I'm an actress, you know.
She said, well, you said, oh, you're awfully late.
Kwaiti, hello. Tell us about the show. You said it's going well.
Yes, it's called Love, Loss, and What I Wore.
By Nora Ephron.
Nora
right?
Ephron and Delia Ephron, Ephron sisters, based on a book by Eileen Beckerman. And it tells about events, big events in her life, but you somehow connect them to things that you were wearing at the time.
Uh-huh.
Or favorite clothes at that age that you were. So there's every kind of woman portrayed in it. There are five of us on stage, and we all, read
right.
various things and interact with one another. And they have to do with it. There's a gay marriage in it. There is a very old woman who mm-hmm. is imparting her wisdom to the younger woman.
Something for everybody. Uh-huh.
Something for everybody.
Something old, something new, something yeah. borrowed, something gay.
Worn.
Okay. All right. Jim, as you know, normally mm-hmm. I leave my. Oh, actually, last weekend I left my. I dropped my BlackBerry in a drunken stupor in someone's planter, and I had to get it. Hmm? I had to get it. You know when you have to get something back the next day? Did you leave anything at my house?
Not a thing.
Mm.
No. In fact, I took things.
Oh, by the way, there was a very sexy...
Wasn't there a TV on that wall before?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I saw you, McClure, carrying a flat-screen TV out of the party. Wait a minute.
Didn't know I was a klepto, did you?
Wow.
Now, that sort of stopped me up there a little bit, didn't it? But as usual, someone left a phone at my house, and as you know, Squeezy McFeel Pants over there pretty much filled up every woman at the
yes.
party. So I'm hoping
every chance I got.
Mm-hmm. He was very sweaty when I arrived.
Yes,
I'm hoping.
Had you been singing hard or?
Well, no,
oh, yes.
Dancing and plus the
dancing
shirt had
and
way
singing.
Too much polyester in it. So.
You did a lot of Mick Jagger and Joe Cocker, and then I'm told that there was even something from Greece that you did a
oh,
duet.
Oh yes, I did a duet with Lori Allen.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
But if you were singing like Joe Cocker, I mean, he was a sweaty man when he was singing.
Yes, and if you're going to do the impression,
it, yeah.
right, if you're going to do it right, you have to sweat.
You have to really crunch up your muscles. And Jim was challenged with that.
At any rate, my point is, the friend that I returned the phone to, Jim, all I'm saying is I hope that you didn't take any pictures of your penis with it.
What?
Ooh.
Huh?
A U.S. postal worker was arrested for allegedly stealing a woman's BlackBerry and using it to take photos of his genitals. Police say the woman reported her BlackBerry stolen after she left it on top of her mailbox. 2 minutes later, she noticed the phone was missing. Her mail had been delivered, so police located the postal worker, took the phone,
Oops.
Returned it to the woman. 15 minutes later, the woman called the police back to report she found obscene pictures on her phone.
Was the man in postal uniform at the time?
Well, not clearly not in any uniform at that time.
I see.
Detectives and officers came to the home.
It's a whole different term for going postal now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Mm.
The police found 6 pictures of the man's penis in the phone. So that was nice. He got quite a variety.
From every angle.
Yes.
In different states of arousal.
Well, there was
a woman. What possesses men, exactly? Yeah. I bet she would like 6 pictures of mine.
Well, there was a woman taking a lot of pictures on her phone at your party.
I think there's probably a lot of unfortunate pictures floating around today that I'm going to need to...
And she just kept, hugging me and taking pictures with the camera.
Oh, boy.
And as the time wore on, my face got further and further away from her.
There were some party crashers, women that brought a hula hoop. I'm not really sure who they were. But I was like, I don't know who that is.
Hula hoop. The hula hoop gate cratchers.
Speaking of bizarre, how about this Connecticut Senate race with the woman from WWF? What the hell is... Yes! Oh. Linda McMahon, what is happening with politics this year? No, not WTF, WWE.
Okay. Is that World Wide West Wing?
Yes, World Wrestling Entertainment. Republican Senate hopeful Linda McMahon. Served as CEO for years. She once teamed up with the Girls Gone Wild enterprise for a pay-per-view event featuring raunchy, partly nude show and some of the WWE's wrestling personalities. She's running against Richard Blumenthal, and she's in the polls are showing a dead heat.
Oh really? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, that just proves to show that anybody can run for office.
Apparently, Christine O'Donnell is running. Did you see you were in last week's Bill Maher thing, but what did you see this week's?
No.
She picks a religion by what kind of meat she can eat. Apparently, she likes meatballs too much to be a Hare Krishna.
Oh, so she was.
Bill goes, boy, you are spiritual, aren't you? She's such a dope.
Oh.
All right. I was hoping that you had a Sister Wives story about John Fugelsang and his wife, but apparently not. After I went to bed, I was hoping there was something. Because have you watched the new show? Where is it? It's on. Chris, is it on TLC? Yes, TLC is the...
The real Sister Wives.
Yes.
Not like Big Love.
No.
This is the real...
No, this...
Yes. I have to see that.
And, it's illegal in Utah, so they perhaps shouldn't have gotten a reality show because now they're being...
They're being arrested?
Well, we don't know. They're being investigated now. Well, that tends to happen when you draw attention to yourself.
By being on TV.
Yes.
And wearing very odd garb and hairdos.
Yes.
That immediately point you out.
Yes. Celeb Bitchy writing, I have to admit I really like the new TLC show, Sister Wives, about a polygamous family in Utah with 4 wives, 1 dad, 13 biological kids, and 3 stepkids. The family run by dad, Cody Brown, is really likable and gives polygamy a kind of rosy upper middle class glow. According to Celeb Bitchy. Christine, here's the latest, in case you haven't watched it. Christine, who is currently pregnant on the episodes airing now but has since had the baby, she was the most openly jealous of the fact that Cody was courting another woman. She maybe didn't get the whole memo about the whole, what this entails thing.
Give it up.
A 31-year-old divorced single mother with 3 kids, blah, blah, blah. Christine says she's very upset that Cody dared to kiss the new woman after he proposed marriage. Christine said that since Cody was a married man when she met him, she didn't kiss him until after they were married, and she expected the same from the new sister wife. So that's... It's kind of a moral slippery slope there, isn't it?
It really is convoluted.
He's a married man.
Yes. And you're
several
going to
of
marry
us.
Him.
Yes.
Again.
So apparently that is the rule in polygamy, is you're not supposed to, even kiss until after you're actually married.
Well, it's kind of like going to the prom.
Apparently.
Repeatedly.
Repeatedly. You keep going to the prom.
Jim, George Michael has received a letter of support from Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh.
The faith...
Well, what did George do now?
He
needs it.
Who knows what his life... He was driving under the influence of drugs and marijuana.
So he's out of the bushes, with van drivers and all that. That was weird.
No, this was not... This is not to do with the, what was he? Oh, a pot-bellied van driver that George was caught in the bushes with. That was a gay thing. That's a long time ago. He said he was thrilled to receive the handwritten note of encouragement from the former Beatles star. A source said George got the letter on Monday and was really chuffed.
Hey, it's chuffed. What? Chuffed. Is that chuffed?
What does that mean?
He was puffed up with happiness?
Yes.
Chuffed.
Said chuffed. They said that in An Old Day's Night as well.
Mm-hmm. Sir Paul said he would see him soon and told George to keep his chin up.
Keep your chin up and other parts as well.
Yeah, there's a gay joke in there. Don't do the gay joke. Okay.
Stay right. out with Lou with the policeman, though. That doesn't work out so well for you, did it?
All right. And the last one, it's two of my favorite things, Brangelina and fart jokes. Delisted writing, artichoke farts will be the death of Brangelina.
Fart
jokes.
I have fart to report jokes. It. Idiots GM. In celebrity stack. I don't even know what kind of source. A source claims that Brad Pitt's new thing is marinating artichokes into vodka for an evening martini. The source went on to say Brad gets some nasty gas from consuming so many artichokes, and it's driving poor Angelina crazy. It's gotten so bad that she sometimes sleeps in a separate bedroom.
Oh. With her knife collection.
That's the first knife. Crack in the wall.
Apparently, yeah, artichoke parts, and that's the first...
Well, you know, he is from Springfield, Missouri.
Yes.
You know.
God knows what that could do to a polygamous family. I mean, seriously, the kissing is enough. Premarital kissing. There might be artichoke parks as well.
Premarital artichokes.
All right. Uh-huh. I think we need to close Celebrity Stack there, because that's
how do you
there's nowhere
that?
Else to go from there. 17 minutes after the hour, we are in the midst of Mondays with McClurg as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm waking up now.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting my listeners can try. GoToMeeting free for 30 days. How about that there? Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie, won't you? Jim, I have a Monday guest to go out for you.
Oh, boy.
Who said if we don't hold employers accountable, we will all never get our arms around this illegal immigration problem?
Who could that be? Meg Twitman?
That's a good guess. No, Meg Whitman said that.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? An interesting little... Edie, you probably got to the party too late. Gloria Allred was there.
I missed.
And Jim did try to slow dance with her and frisk some documents out of her purse, but to no avail. We were hoping maybe some naked Meg Whitman pictures might be, you know. Up on StephanieMiller.com this morning, but no. Gloria had the best light of the night. She said Meg Whitman spent $120 million. I spent $10 for a chalkboard. And her candidacy is pretty much anything.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Well, although the polls still show them fairly close.
Yeah. But Jim, you were saying, did you watch this or see clips of the debate, Edie? She blames Jerry Brown based on what? No evidence.
Sure, great. Keep digging, lady. I can still see the top of your head. Keep flapping your gums. Oh, there goes my campaign ad. Yeah, thanks. Tell me you got that. Please tell me you got that. Oh, this is great.
This is awesome. Yeah, so what do you think of this whole thing?
Well, I think that all of that money that she spent was, you know, at the hands of eBay. You know, all that money came from, you know, people with bad stuff that they want to get rid of to other people, you know, who can't afford it. And it's just a pile of claptrap, you know.
Yes, yes.
And she made all that money on claptrap. So I'm just wondering.
It is. It's like a high-tech like yard sale.
Yeah.
Why do people want other people's old crap? I don't know.
Ooh, it's a pretty picture.
And there you go.
And, so it's that, you know, as we used to go through the catalog and say, mine, dibs, 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 dibs.
Right.
And then the people with the, you know, the eBay, you know, they go dibs and then they have to pay for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they're like, was I drunk? I did what?
Mm.
I bid what on, huh?
So black velvet paintings of Elvis are paying for her campaign. That's
Well, I learned my lesson from Overstock.com. Turns out it's all not all new stuff. It's stuff that's been returned.
It's refurbished.
And somewhat refurbished. So $200 later, trying to fix the Bissell carpet cleaner.
Yes.
You know.
Listen, I bought my, you know, when I had a broken foot, I bought my rollator on Overstock.com, my mobility scooter.
Yes.
And some old bitch had already run that thing into the ground, you could tell.
Well,
it's an immobility scooter now.
Yeah.
We learned our lesson right. Well.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just think, you know, it's amazing. Like, she's accusing Jerry Brown, Jim, of sacrificing this poor woman when she's the one that threw her under the bus. Yeah. I mean, she takes care of her children for 9 years, and then she just goes, you don't know me, and I don't know you.
You're fine.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, Shut up, even though it's good for you.
You know, that shows you what kind of person she is. You know, she's Meg Whitman, for God's sake. She could have helped the woman if she wanted. She could have tried to help her get
legal.
Well,
she just has self-interest, not enlightened self-interest.
Yes.
All right.
But that could cost me dozens of dollars. Good heavens.
Oh, I forgot. I've got one last celebrity stack story. Jim, you know the 101. It's the... It's the source of all. Normally, there's celebutards going the wrong way on the 101. We're coming in because they're coming home for the clubs.
Yes.
When we're coming into work. So there's always, you know, crazy on the 101. But this, if you were driving delisted riding, if you were driving on the 101 freeway in L.A. on Thursday night and noticed a bright spot of lunacy waving from an overpass as though it was trying to command our alien overlords to land on the right target spot, you just witnessed the Hoff and all his drunken crazy...
No, not again!
Radar says that for absolutely no reason, David Hasselhoff stood on an overpass and waved at the traffic below.
Was he eating
Thursday
a cheeseburger?
No. Okay, how random and weird and L.A.-like is this? Leanne Rimes just so happened to be driving by and tweeted about seeing the Hoff do the wave. The Hoff hit her back later, confirming that it was him on the overpass and not a bloated ostrich with a bad home perm. Which, yeah, he does look a little like that. Delisted, you're correct. Delisted writing, since it's obvious the Hoff doesn't have to do all day, the city of Los Angeles should replace their welcome sign with the Hoff doing the welcome wave. And he'll do it for a tab at Bevmo and a daily cheeseburger in a yellow wrapper. Yes, you will. That's the kind of random crap you see in L.A. Just, what, how, was that David Hasselhoff?
Dude, you mean that Leanne Rimes was tweeting while she was driving?
Yeah.
Yes. That's a number of oddities all in one celebrity story there. All right. Reverend Franklin, could you take your organ out for me, Chris? Reverend Franklin Graham.
I beg your pardon. Oh, excuse me. That one.
It's a church story. What were you thinking?
Not anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Reverend Franklin Graham, being ever so helpful again in the War on Terror, called Islam wicked and evil yesterday on a televised town hall discussion. Graham went on to profess his love for the Muslim people.
The Muslim people.
Don't all racists and homophobes do this kind of thing? Oh, but I love them.
Muslims are of many different races.
Yes.
Everyone on the planet.
Yes.
Pretty much.
He said he has great difficulty with the religion, especially with Sharia law and what it does for women, toward women and toward non-believers. Didn't he essentially just say non-believers in Christianity are wicked and evil? Isn't that what he just did? He just basically said... So he says they're intolerant toward non-believers in the Muslim religion. And it seems like he just proved their point, didn't he?
Absolutely.
By calling an entire religion wicked and evil. Okay. All right. Democratic insiders are taking the temperature of some top party donors about the possibility of naming White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs as chairman of the DNC. I know. Listen, I agree with our friend Alan Grayson that I think we could do better as press secretaries. Maybe he would do better elsewhere. I don't know. But then he'd have to kiss and make up with the professional left. I'm the unprofessional left, so he doesn't have to do anything for me, but I'm just saying. 29 minutes after the hour, we continue Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Preliminary reports indicated that
Stephanie Miller
was drunk at the helm. Those reports were later confirmed.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The
Harry.
Mondays with McClurg, 34 minutes after the hour.
I love Harry's voice, his official newsy voice.
Yes. We were, by the way, it was confirmed during the break that the reason Rahm Emanuel is running for mayor of Chicago is there's no Jeb Daly. Because otherwise, you see... if there was any more Dalys, then nobody else
That's
could
That's an run. Automatic...
Yes.
Check off in the
exactly.
booth.
Exactly.
All the dailies.
The president at the press conference on Friday.
I am very fortunate to be able to hand the baton to my wise, skillful, and longtime counselor, Pete Russ.
Oh, he's good. Don't you love when they name people that no one has any idea who these people are? We're like, I don't...
And you are...
And we would know you from...
There is a saying around the White House, let's let Pete fix it. And he does. Pete's known as a skillful problem solver, and the good news for him is that we have plenty of problems to solve.
He's the Schneider of the White House, and I feel better this morning.
Well, it could be Pete Russ or Russ Pete. I mean, he's got two first names.
Exactly. And then he talked about the difference between their styles.
Obviously, these two gentlemen have slightly different styles. I mentioned, for example, this was a couple of years ago, I pointed out that Rahm, when he was a kid, had lost part of his finger in an accident, and it was his middle finger, so it rendered him mute for a while. Pete has never seen a microphone or a TV camera that he likes.
Rahm Emanuel, by the way, let's see, he says that he will hit Chicago's grocery stores, train stops, bowling alleys, and hot dog stands. Hey, you want to... Hot dog, I'm Rahm Emanuel. I just like that. I like that.
He's going for a certain segment of society in the voter pool.
Mm-hmm. He's hitting the streets, the president.
In the last 20 months, Rahm has exceeded all of my expectations. It's fair to say that we could not have accomplished what we've accomplished without Rahm's leadership.
It was certainly a much longer and more flowery statement than Rick Sanchez got at CNN.
He has been a great friend of mine. And will continue to be a great friend of mine. He has been a selfless public servant. He has been an outstanding chief of staff. I will miss him dearly.
And now coming to a hot dog stand near you, Rahm Emanuel himself.
You have lived that American dream, Mr. President, as have I. My father...
He's choking up now.
My grandfather came to this country for opportunity.
See, you see, as an actress, you say you heard that coming.
Mm. It was a thickening in the throat.
A thickening, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for the opportunity to repay in a small portion of the blessings this country has given my family. I give you my word that even as I leave the White House, I will never leave that spirit of service behind.
That was actually authentic. We were saying the man crying on the Republican side is more like the John Boner is like the Cowardly Lion, his school of man crying. You know, that kind of...
Someone stepped on my tail.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
And ironically, he looks like Jack Haley, the Tin Man. He's the Tin Man. God didn't give anything to the Tin Man that he didn't already have.
Yeah, exactly. Rahm, one last
time. I'm energized by the prospect of new challenges and eager to see what I can do to make our hometown even greater. These are unprecedented and great times in Chicago, Mr. President. The Chicago Bears are 3-0.
Unbelievable. It's about the Bears, as usual.
The Bears.
John in Amherst, up the transit from Mama's hometown. Hey, Jan.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
How is everyone? Oh, happy birthday, belated birthday.
Thank you.
I didn't want to mess up your birthday on your day, I decided to mess it up today.
All right, good.
Listen, did you ever hear the expression, success has a million fathers and failure has an orphan?
Yes.
Where are all the people that are these economic wizards that gave us this crap economy? They've all flown the coup. Every one of them.
Yes, the Bush administration is gone now. Yes, you're right.
No. The ones that Obama got.
Oh, I see. The ones that he put in that wrecked the economy in 18 months. That ruined that stellar George Bush economy.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, you can keep blaming George Bush, but all I'm saying is where are all the people who orchestrated this economic, you know, whatever,
He should have listened to Paul Krugman, who said that it should be a bigger stimulus package, and then we wouldn't be in this position now.
No, well, I think the people are revolting because we have a little bit too much stimulus and deficit spending. It's not stimulative any longer.
Mm.
So the deficit spending, this really does make a big difference.
How is something a failure that is provably created 3.3 million jobs?
I don't see it. You'll have to, Steph, do me a favor. You've got a website.
Mm-hmm.
Would you please, on my behalf and for my edification, show me where they are. Show me how they are a net gain.
Oh, so you want me to put some Google Maps up as to exactly where the jobs are? Look, all I can tell you is nonpartisan economists have all said it created.
If you tell me unequivocally that the evidence is out,
if you could say Stephanie in a more condescending way, I'll do whatever you ask.
No, come on, Steph. You know we gotta get along. I'm just asking you. You just said that there's an unequivocal proof.
Yes.
The word is unequivocal.
Thank you.
Not equivocal.
I'm condescending. I mean, I'm patronizing you. It's different.
Yeah, okay, Jim. And after I'm off, I will be called a racist because apparently that is the. That's the last step of a scoundrel is calling someone a racist.
Well, not unless you say something else about black guys having caused the mortgage crisis again. If you do that, then yes, we will probably mock you.
You know, if you want to relive
that. Did you or did you not say the mortgage crisis was caused by?
A room full of black guys.
It was run by Franny and Fetty, which was run by Franklin Raines, which just happened to be black.
A black guy. Yeah.
And that's what caused the economic meltdown.
Exactly.
All black guys.
By the way, it's the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office that says the stimulus created in the neighborhood of 3 million jobs.
The nonpartisan Budget Office. These people could throw any numbers together. Now they're finding out that we were wrong about.
So they're partisan. If you don't like the numbers that they throw out. All right, John. Thanks for calling. All right. Sometimes it's like I tase him with facts, and he's momentarily just like.
Look, part of the problem was the Bush administration was not counting the money that was going towards the two wars that they started. And so immediately the deficit looked bigger because they were being honest about it instead of sweeping it under the carpet.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So
in other words, a room full of black guys.
Exactly our point.
Aye, Gunga, such is so.
All right, speaking of the Bush tax cuts, deficit fraud, Rand Paul on extending Bush's tax cuts. I'm not seeing it as a cost. You're not entitled to make up your own math. He said if a spokesman last month for him said if elected, Paul will vote against and filibuster any unbalanced budget proposal in the Senate. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Not only can the budget not be filibustered, but Paul is going to make balancing the budget exceedingly difficult as he's willing to extend all of the Bush tax cuts, including for the top two richest percent of Americans, without offsetting them with any spending cuts or tax increases elsewhere
for
a cost of nearly $4 trillion.
It's freedom.
He said, I think, first of all, you look at whose money it is. It's the people's money.
Mm-hmm.
Who earned the money? We give up some to pay taxes, so I'm not seeing it as a cost to government.
Yeah. Mitch McChinless tried that.
Like,
what do you mean? There's no cost.
No. It's just like, if you want to go sit at a lunch counter at a private institution, just stop being black. It's freedom. See, it's liberty.
Why can't you be black outside?
Take the money from your right-hand pocket and put it in your left-hand pocket.
So on Fox News, he said his focus in the Senate would be reducing the mountains of debt.
Mm.
But when asked to square that, he got something resembling a question on Fox News.
Wow. That's
when asked to square that with his desire to spend trillions of dollars on tax cuts, he replied, when it comes to extending Bush's tax cuts, I'm not seeing it as a cost.
Oh, okay.
It's the government.
Hmm. Then it's free. It just went away. Poof.
He later promised to introduce legislation that will reduce spending, but when Fox News' Chris Wallace noted there is no way you're going to get $4 trillion by spending cuts, Paul simply reiterated he would cut spending without laying out any specifics. Don't you love that when they just
say,
down the road, I've got stuff, I'm not going to tell you now.
Well, the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, also said, what are you talking about paid for? You're talking about current tax policy. Why did it all of a sudden become something that we, quote, pay for?
Yes, just because we've been yammering about the deficit forever. What are you talking about? We're going to start counting now? That's not fair.
I don't know. Did they put it on the back of the tax paper?
All I know is that everything is moving too fast for Yertle the Turtle. It's not the time to talk about specific cuts.
Down. I never slow down. Slow and steady wins the race. I don't know if you heard about the story of the rabbit and the turtle.
No, tell us again.
I'm just lying here on my back waiting for somebody to turn me over and bring me some lettuce.
I don't know. It's kind of like the scorpion and the turtle as well.
I think it's a frog. Well, we'll research
scorpion
it.
And the frog?
Yes,
scorpion and the
that's
frog.
The joke you're talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I just heard it as a turtle.
All right. It's hard to sting through his shell. All right, 45
get
minutes.
Get him in the neck. 45. Get him in the neck.
Oh, I see. You can't rewrite that joke, Edie McClurg. 45 minutes after the hour
it's
back.
A fable.
Yeah, it's a fable, not a
fable. Fable, pardon me. Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where the party's at, and you find out if you do that. I want a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. Don't forget tomorrow's. But it is a big show.
Yep.
I'm not even just saying that. We have Dana Milbank, a journalist extraordinaire, Boston Globe writer Charlie Pierce, Arianna Huffington, and Paula Poundstone all in one show.
Wow.
We're in the midst of Mondays with McClurg, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus, you're on with Edie.
Hey, I got that equivocal proof that he wants.
Oh, John wants equivocal.
The equivocal proof is Google something called bikini graph. And it can show you exactly when the number of jobs lost per month turned around, and that's when the stimulus kicked in. And and the guy who testified to this name was Mark Zander, and he's the chief economist at Moody's. He's a Republican, and he worked for John McCain.
Yeah. Well, buddy, you know, we can't say, because I think jobs is the number one issue, don't you, in this election?
Oh, absolutely.
And but you can't say it enough that we get it, and the president says it over and over again.
Well,
it is not good. The economy is not good.
No.
Jobs are not good, but it is quantitatively provable. And you're right, the best visual thing is that graph to go, we were losing 700 and whatever jobs a month under George Bush. This is where we've gone, right?
Well, for the past 6 months, we've been adding jobs to the economy. But the hole we were in, it was so darn deep that it's going to take a long time to get out.
Yeah.
And to be honest, some of the jobs we're adding are not the same as the jobs we lost. But we can't keep going on this stupid road.
Yep, exactly. All right. By the way, speaking of jobs, particularly in Meg Whitman's house, heavens, she may be busy on, she may not be available on Election Day, Edie, if, what do you
she's
call it?
She's doing her CYA?
Well, if Carly Fiorina has her way. Fiorina said on TV this weekend she absolutely supports sending people to prison for knowingly employing undocumented immigrants. Oh, dear.
That's one way to get rid of a candidate.
Bye-bye, then.
Loser.
Oh, dear, Meggie, have a good time. All right. Meg Whitman going in the hole instead of into the governor's mansion. All right. So, Edie McClurg, you missed Gloria Allred at the party.
Yes.
We were hoping to find some incriminating Meg Whitman photos in her purse or something, but it was not to be.
Did you search?
Yes, I did. What a bunch of candidates we have. Christine O'Donnell, now you were obviously last week, you gave us the tip off that you were on the Bill Maher Show doing a skit.
Yeah.
Reenacting one of the Christine O'Donnell things. So this past clip, she said she dabbled in almost every religion, but she didn't become a Hare Krishna because she likes meatballs too much.
So she couldn't become a vegetarian.
Which is how most people pick the religion.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
What's on the menu?
She's just nutty. Chris, could you take your organ out for me? The only place she will talk, well, Sean Hannity, but now she's done with that meeting. Now it Christian Broadcasting Network, apparently the only place she'll go. She suggests, well, you know, as you recall, she said that she heard the audible voice of God in the primary, telling her, what did God say, Chris? I think he said credibility.
Yes.
To which I would think he was saying, you have no credibility, get out of the race, you are an idiot.
But she only heard credibility.
She took it to mean, oh, I have credibility.
Oh,
but at any rate,
sure, the audible voice. How delusional.
Okay.
Very delusional.
So in this latest interview, she says the Almighty has strengthened and empowered her campaign so that she can be around to filibuster during the lame duck session.
Oh, God.
Apparently got a big filibuster fan.
Oh.
CBN flags the Republicans' plan to cut taxes on the super rich as a key vote where O'Donnell can make a difference during that session. Apparently, O'Donnell thinks God has flip-flopped on his position on rich people. Apparently, the whole passing through the eye of the
needle.
Camel.
Whatever.
That thing. God was kidding about that. God wants Christine O'Donnell specifically to filibuster so that we can have tax cuts for the rich. Okay. Mike in New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Steph, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
Hey,
you want to talk about the One Nation rally?
Yeah, you know, I'm a mulatto gay Jew. And
you're lovable on a lot of fronts there.
Wow, yeah, Rick Sanchez hates you three times.
Oh, I heard, yeah, this weekend. It was wonderful. But I've always considered myself to be a progressive liberal.
Uh-huh.
And now I see this weekend, you know, progressives and liberals standing side by side with communists and socialists. Is this what we are?
Well, you're talking about the One Nation rally?
Where were the communists?
And socialists.
There were people carrying signs, United States Communist Party, all over the place.
Yes, the Communist Party did attend.
And we're okay with this?
Sure.
Well, sure. Well, you can't really ban people.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's One Nation.
That doesn't exactly. That's
one
the
nation.
Point is that we allow, you know.
Believe it or not, there are communists and socialists here in America.
And
We're a big country, Mike.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. There's a lot of bad history with communism. I don't know that I want to see people here start getting eradicated.
Oh, so you want to ban communism?
I'm not talking about banning anything.
Well,
I'm
then
talking about standing up and saying, hey, this is a liberty-based system. We don't believe in communism here.
We believe in freedom of expression of religion.
We believe
and
in the First Amendment would be one of the first things we
and
believe.
And freedom of association.
So we're looking at this whole communist rally as a
freedom. It wasn't a communist rally. Some people showed up with a couple of signs. How is that going to, I mean.
And there were way many more than the Glenn Beck rally.
Way many more. And way many more capitalists than there were communists there, sir.
Many more capitalists
But we don't ban people just for who they are. That we're not, you know, Democrats don't do that.
Well, I don't consider myself a Democrat either, because I think Democrats and Republicans are just the same thing. But
you're an independent who just happened to stumble upon the show.
Yeah, I love you guys. You guys are entertaining every day, but I haven't heard any outrage about communists and socialists talking about.
We're a big country. We do allow communists and socialists inside this country, Mike.
Yeah, well,
all right.
They take over. They're
sorry.
The rest put us all in jail. Sorry to hear it.
They're not going to take over and put us in jail.
What?
Oh, my God. You're paranoid, aren't you, sir?
Maybe a little bit, but
my
family, you know.
We're not in danger of that, Mike.
So I guess after my grandmother was, almost went into an oven, I guess I have a little bit of concern.
And that was done by Nazis who are on the far right of the spectrum, not communists who are on the far left of the spectrum.
Nazis, my friend, are a second shoot of communism, if you do your history.
No, they're on the far right of the spectrum, Mike.
Oh, dear God.
No,
all right. All
left. Right.
All right.
The absence of government anarchy.
All right, Mike.
Can't we all just get along?
Once you use your grandmother in an oven, I don't think that was a... Okay. Then we've stumbled into bad analogies, and I cast... All right.
The communists in Russia fought hard against the Nazis in Germany. I don't think Mike knows his history.
He's an independent who just happened to stumble on the show and...
Wonder
what we thought of the communist rally in
And now
Washington.
He is in thrall of your power,
apparently,
Stephanie.
Apparently he is. All right, here is one of the ever more wacky candidates on the right. This Republican candidate, Alan West. Have you heard of this guy, Chris? Tea Party. Teabagger.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
These are the Alan West fun facts. He's the Teabagger candidate for Congress in Florida's 22nd district. He is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army. He apparently believes this entitles him to a security clearance higher than any clearance held by President Obama.
Oh, really?
Say
he
what?
Told an audience, I still retain a secret security clearance, and I tell you, if you look at an application for security clearance, I have a clearance even the President of the United States cannot obtain because of my background. Parents lost on him that he is currently the commander-in-chief, so I think that there really would not be a clearance that would be above that.
Yikes.
PolitiFact performed a rather unnecessary fact-check and categorized the claim as a pants-on-fire falsehood. His campaign manager went on to say West meant that he obtained his clearance through rigorous screening and security process, while Obama simply claimed his by winning the popular vote, and he couldn't have gotten it otherwise. The fact that he's admitted to cocaine use, traveled to unauthorized countries before, and his association with Louis Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright, he wouldn't have gotten a security clearance.
Yikes.
Okay. All right. That's your Republican candidates. Thank you, Edie McClurg.
I love y'all.
I love you. See you next Monday.
Okay,
see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.